This AgriTalk podcast is brought to you by Miravis Ace Fungicide from Syngenta for wheat growers who want to get a head start on head scab control. And day 27 of the government shutdown.
Oh,
but heads up, your FSA office might be open today. Corn and soybeans are steady to firm this morning. Wheat is lower in livestock markets. Yeah, they're seeing some price pressure today as well.
From the studios of Farm Journal, this is AgriTalk. This morning, we are live at the Top Producer Summit in breezy Chicago. We'll have a conversation with Lynn Martz from Larson Farms, Pat Christie from Conservis, and later we've got Christopher Adams, Ron Rabu, and Jimmy Tosh, all finalists here at Top Producer. And we'll check in with Greg Henderson from Drovers. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
Breezy.
Have you been outside?
They don't call it the breezy town.
Well, no, they don't, but that doesn't mean it has to be windy every day, does it?
No.
Just, you know, when it's windy, it's notable.
But breezy town just doesn't have the same punch as the Windy City.
Well, no, it really doesn't, but I would say as a newsman,
yeah,
my duty is accuracy.
Is accuracy.
I'm calling
so
it breezy.
You're bringing it.
I'm calling it breezy.
Welcome to AgriTalk, everybody.
Breezy.
I'm Chip Flory. What a great night last night.
It was wonderful.
Yes.
Dude.
Yes. The top producer of the year finalists were all on display at Top Producer Summit. It's always inspiring when you get right down to it to see the stories, of what they are doing on their operations, to see what got them to the point that they're at in today's world,
right?
And to talk about their plans, what they see going forward. It's just inspiring. So we're going to spend some time with the guys today.
That's going to be great.
Yeah. Chris Adams, Ron Rabu.
Yep.
And the top producer of the year, Jimmy Tosh.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting, and we'll get into some of the stories from those guys, and it's been a great meeting here in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much to BASF for
making
it possible for us to bring you coverage from the first hour of AgriTalk today from the Top Producer Summit in Chicago.
There's a ton of people here.
It's a great event. It's the best thing I do all year.
Yeah? Really?
Yes. I've said that before.
Okay.
I've said that before, but it is the best thing that I do all year. It's rejuvenating for me to come to Top Producer and talk with some really top-notch farmers.
Well, you heard it from Chip Flory. We got the Fountain of Youth right here at Top Producer.
The Fountain of Youth. That's right. What's going on in the news?
Well, Chip, the U.S. is investigating allegations China's Huawei Technologies stole trade secrets from T-Mobile and other American businesses. The Wall Street Journal reports an indictment could be coming soon. Meanwhile, a group of bipartisan U.S. lawmakers introduced bills on Wednesday that would ban the sale of U.S. chips or other components to Huawei or other Chinese telecommunications firms that violate U.S. sanctions or export control laws. China urged U.S. lawmakers to block the bills and called the proposed U.S. legislation, quote, hysteria.
Right. Yeah. Surprise, surprise. They're stealing our technology.
Yeah.
Isn't that what this is all about?
That's what this is all about.
Okay.
U.S. Secretary of Agriculture Sonny Perdue yesterday announced that many Farm Service Agency offices will reopen temporarily in the coming days. USDA has recalled about 2,500 FSA employees to open offices on Thursday, January 17. That's today. And on Friday, January 18, tomorrow, in addition to Tuesday, January 22nd, during normal business hours, of course, the offices will be closed for the federal Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. holiday on Monday, January 21. But there's an opportunity to get down to your local FSA office if they're open today, tomorrow, and Tuesday. And yesterday, Chip had a conversation with John Doggett from the National Corn Growers Association about U.S. ethanol. Doggett expressed concerns about the industry's ability to get E15 available for summer 2019 driving. Ashley, can you roll that quote from Mr. Doggett, please?
Too late.
Yeah.
Throw in the government shutdown.
Yeah.
Throw in the other thing with the RIN thing being part of the rule. I gotta stay optimistic. I gotta say we're gonna get it by this driving season. But
yeah,
you know, I've got all my fingers and all my toes crossed.
Well, and Chip also spoke with Hannah Thompson-Weeman from the Animal Agriculture Alliance, who highlighted a creepy study out today that drew some very extreme dietary conclusions. Ashley, let's have that quote, please.
If you were to follow these recommendations, you are allowed 1/4 ounce of beef a day.
Quarter ounce.
That's about 7 peanuts, if you look at the equivalents in weight. Pork, you can have 1/4 ounce of pork. Dairy, you are allowed 1 glass of milk a day, but no butter. That 1 glass of milk is your dairy allotment for the day. And chicken, you can have the equivalent, I'm not sure, I can't remember what the ounce number is, but it's the equivalent of 1.5 chicken nuggets. For eggs, you can have 1.5 eggs a week. So I'm not sure how you're supposed to divvy up your 1.5 allocated
egg. Well, it gets messy.
Week.
It gets messy.
It's about a fifth of an egg a day, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're supposed to hard boil it and slice it or what you're supposed to do. But it's a very, very small amount. And, of course, their contention is that you are supposed to replace what you would have eaten in animal products with beans, nuts, and other options.
Yeah, that was Hannah Thompson-Weeman from the Animal Agriculture Alliance referring to an Eat Stockholm Resilience Center study just out.
Okay, there is no way that this guy knew that I had that conversation with Hannah yesterday. There's no way that Dr. Fabrice de Klerk.
Ooh.
Fabrice de Klerk.
There's no way that this guy knew that we had that conversation yesterday.
And somehow...
He sends me an email at 10 minutes after 10 this morning.
Just now.
Just now. Hey, Chip, happy to talk about the Eat Lancet report, if you like. Not in disagreement regarding the health value of meat. Really?
Huh?
1/4 ounce.
Yeah, that's a McNugget and a half.
You know, when Hannah started talking about it, I was like, well, no, wait a second. 1/4 pound, that's not a day. That's okay.
No, incorrect.
I can do that.
Yeah.
It's not a pound.
It's not what they said, ounce.
It's not a 1/4 pounder at McDonald's. Yep. It's 1/4 ounce. It's like 7 peanuts.
That's right. Yep.
7 peanuts. So, anyway, Fabrice once talked to me about, not in disagreement regarding the health value of meat, but concerned about overconsumption and also flagging that if these patterns of consumption are followed globally, that there simply aren't enough resources to go around.
Yeah.
They have not done their research. And they're putting out this study.
Yeah. As though it's authoritative,
though it's the final word.
Yeah.
Though it's the final word. And it's not. And the other thing that Hannah and I talked about yesterday is that there are consumers out there that are susceptible, vulnerable to this kind of a message.
Mm-hmm.
And they're gonna hear it and they're gonna follow it. And they're going to believe that if they don't limit their beef consumption,
right?
Bring in Henderson.
Yeah, let's get him in on this.
Greg Henderson, editorial director at Drovers. Dude, what is this all about? This is nonsense.
Hey, I was thinking you were never going to let me talk here. I'm dying to tell you. So Frank Mittlenauer, I asked him for a quote. He's got the best quote of all. He's the air quality expert at University of California at Davis, and he emailed me this morning. He said, the emissions from the Eat Lancet global launch tour will persist in the environment far longer than methane from livestock animals.
That's fantastic. These guys have no idea. It's all about, 1/4 ounce, Greg. The only reason they didn't say don't eat meat is so that they can say, listen, we didn't say don't eat meat.
That's right. Exactly right. And you're right. They haven't done their science.
That's right. Guys, that's Greg Henderson, editorial director at Drovers. We're going to be right back with more AgriTalk in a moment.
Fusarium head blight, also known as head scab, is a costly wheat disease that can be difficult to control for multiple reasons. Each year, growers grapple with it, looking for the best technology to keep them ahead of the game, preserve yield, and, of course, preserve that grain quality. Today, we're speaking with Eric Tedford, Syngenta Fungicide Technical Manager, about Miravis Ace Fungicide, the latest technology for Fusarium head scab control available for the 2019 season. Eric, We know that head scab is a tricky disease for growers to control because of the very tight window for fungicide application and other factors. Can you tell us how Miravis Ace will take some of the stress out of managing head scab?
Yeah, you're very right. The current market standard fungicides that are used for control of Fusarium head scab really require that they go on at full flowering. And that window can be very short, as you understand, from maybe 3 days or less. And so that small window makes it difficult for growers or applicators to get out and cover all the acres that they need in time. So missing a flowering application with the current fungicide also has a detriment to the efficacy of and disease control. So Miravis Ace contains a new mode of action for head scab that provides excellent power, spectrum, and stamina. And this simply means that it provides excellent control of the difficult-to-control diseases like Fusarium head scab. And with the physical properties, it allows us to apply at 50% head emergence through flowering, meaning that we can actually get the applications out in a longer window of time, allowing growers to provide disease control and without detriment or a compromise of yield and grain quality.
Yeah, and more time means more flexibility. Thank you, Eric. That is Eric Tedford, Syngenta Fungicide Technical Manager.
Current price times 1,000 acres, carry the one.
These days, it's hard to make the math work for your soybean fields. The BASF LibertyLink system with Liberty Herbicide makes it easier. Start with a 2-plus bushel per acre yield advantage. Add in lower system input costs and more complete weed control, and you get an extra $33 or more profit potential per acre compared to Asgrow Roundup Ready to Extend soybeans. Grow smart with LibertyLink and BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Oh, hey, bro. I'm an off-brand filter, so I am under-engineered and made from cheaper components. So dust and contaminants, they're your problem, bro.
John Deere filters. Don't risk it with anything less. Get 10% off your John Deere filter packs at your John Deere dealer or at johndeerestore.com. Offer ends February 28, 2019 on filter packs for subcompact and compact utility tractors. Some restrictions apply. See participating dealers or johndeerestore.com for details. johndeerestore.com available in U.S. only.
First-generation farmers are a special breed. Farm Journal business editor Ana Lisa Laca helps these ag unicorns tell their story on a new podcast, The First Years.
It may have been hard, but there's a lot of good things that came out of it. A lot of time we spent together and our kids, I think, were better for it.
Join me each week as I chat with first-generation farmers and ranchers who have what it takes, grit and determination, to start from nothing.
The First Years with Ana Lisa Laca is available where you access your favorite podcasts, iTunes, Google Play, and now the new AgriTalk app.
The mighty Prosaro, king of fungicides. Its fast action and long residual make it the keeper of grain quality and yield, the hammer of head and leaf diseases, the number one reducer of scab. When your goal is greater wheat quality and higher yield, use Prosaro fungicide, and the crown of higher profit will be yours. Learn more at prosaro.us. Always read and follow label instructions.
I'm Andrew McCray, inviting you to join me for Farming the Countryside, farmer-focused podcast that's all about production agriculture. Farming the Countryside is available wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts and is brought to you by Nutrient Ag Solutions, the world's largest provider of crop inputs and services.
Hurry up, Andrew.
This email is 5 lines long, and it's got me so burned up,
dude,
I can't even stand it.
You are fired up right now.
Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody.
Wow.
I'm your host, Chip Flory. We are live at the Top Producer Summit in Chicago. Thank you to BASF for making our coverage possible. And yes, Ashley, we're going to get to the industry spotlight here in just a second. Get this. We're going to talk with Lynn Martz, Larson Farms, cattle feeder, right? I'm looking forward to the conversation with Lynn. Okay, but get this. Here's the last 2 lines from this email from Dr. Fabrice Declercq.
Fabrice Declercq.
Yeah. 100% behind sustainable pork production and healthy consumption levels. As long as you keep it to a quarter of an ounce a day.
Mm-hmm. Huh?
I might have added that. Yes, I'm in France, but 35 years in the U.S., including in Iowa. Brent Loken, the EAT director of Science Translation, is an Iowa native. I don't care. If bad science is bad science, I don't care where you're from.
Mm-hmm. This
guy's telling me that they're from Iowa because I'm from Iowa. And that's supposed to give them credibility because they're from Iowa?
Yeah, now you're supposed to say, oh, okay.
Okay, let's calm down a little bit. Let's run this industry spotlight from BASF.
All right, we're talking with Dr. Josh Miller from BASF. Josh, what do you do at BASF?
My role is called a technical market manager. It's a pretty interesting, unique role from my perspective. We kind of get to be the linkage between the research and the new products that are coming out in the biology and the R&D segment, and then translate that into the products that you're going to see on the field, and really kind of give the field reps what they need to make the best recommendations with the products that we offer.
That is really cool stuff, because it's tying the scientists to the farm, right?
Yes, absolutely.
So when we look at what happened in the past 2, 3, 4 years, when you look at the upcoming growing season, what do you anticipate?
We can anticipate things that we can't anticipate.
Yeah.
No, it's the inconsistency of every season, right?
Yeah.
And so that's the one thing we've been certain of, is that no season is like the last, pretty much. And so you have to have a plan of attack to make sure that you're set up to be successful regardless of what that season holds for you. And that's why I enjoy my role as a TMM, Tech Market Manager for Plant Health, because I think plant health products can help us do that.
Okay, that plant health, it's become kind of a catch-all phrase, yes, for a lot of things. But when I think plant health, I'm thinking of keeping that plant as green as long as I possibly can,
right,
throughout the whole growing season.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that we've dealt with, is that it's become ubiquitous in the industry.
Right? Yeah.
Plant health is everything from the seed you choose to the fertility,
yes,
to the micronutrients. But ultimately, BASF kind of coined this term a few years back,
yeah,
but it's pretty specific what we mean. It's a physiological effect that our products actually have in the plant. It's controlling the diseases, certainly, because it's a fungicide, but it's also this level of stress mitigation from the environmental stresses. We have this unique ability to help the plants be protected from the elements, whatever they are, to help the plants focus on what they want to do, and that's to grow more efficiently and produce yield.
Make more yield.
Make more,
absolutely,
yield.
You know what? When we talk next, let's talk about return on investment.
Perfect.
All right, we're talking with Dr. Josh Miller from BASF. You know, the that return on investment has been a big topic of discussion here at Top Producer Summit in Chicago. Everybody's willing to do what it takes to grow more bushels per acre. Everybody's willing to do it as long as there is a return coming on the backside of it. So, all right, I'll admit, this study's got me fired up. We're talking now with Lynn Martz. Lynn is with Larson Farms. Where is Larson Farms?
Maple Park, Illinois, which is just 65 miles straight west of Chicago.
Gotcha.
Yep.
Gotcha. And you're a cattle feeder.
Yep, we have a feedlot there. I raise out about 7,500 head of cattle a year, finishing lot.
Okay.
Yep.
So 7,500 head a year. At a quarter of an ounce per day, you can pretty much supply the U.S. with beef.
Pretty much, yeah.
Isn't this ridiculous?
Well,
they have no understanding,
no,
of what we are doing in animal agriculture anymore, Lynn.
Absolutely not. No. Yeah. Well, they've been better off just to say they wanted a meatless diet. So, you know, just throw,
exactly,
that out there, and then we'll say, well, we'll just throw that idea all the way out.
See, but that wouldn't get guys like me fired up.
Yeah.
Right?
So
maybe,
right,
I'm falling right into what they want,
right,
and getting fired up about this study. If they would have said, don't eat meat, I would have ignored it,
yep,
and we would have said, okay, there's another,
yep,
study out there that is trying to bring down animal agriculture. Mm-hmm. Instead, they throw a quarter of an ounce of beef on it. They throw a quarter of an ounce of pork on it, an egg and a half a week, and it gets a guy like me fired up.
Right.
So we're talking about it.
Yep.
Maybe I shouldn't. I can't help myself. And we've got Pat Christie from Conservis with us. Pat, you've got one of the most unique jackets on that I've seen anywhere. It's got Conservis on one side and Rabo AgriFinance on the other. What's that all about?
Well, yes, sir. It's my new favorite jacket. Mm-hmm. We recently just announced a partnership with Rabo AgriFinance. And so we're the technology that helps farmers bring all their information together.
Okay.
And with Rabo, they really want us to help expand operational data, all the things that farmers need to get to their cost of production,
yep,
and turn it into financial analysis. So how do they actually start to improve access to lending by getting lender-ready reports? How do we start to see the performance by field, by crop, and not just at the field level, across the whole farm? And so what Rabo's bringing to our partnership is just great depth. They have research. They are the largest food and ag bank in the world. And frankly, they're focused on helping their farmers get digital to help them be the best they can be.
Okay, Lynn, at Larson Farms, you're using Conservice,
yep,
right?
Yep, we started with Conservice in 2014. We started with the harvest piece. In other words, that's a database where we actually use our Bluetooth technology to bring in all the data through our truck scale. We could have done it through a grain cart, but we chose the truck scale.
Yep.
So all our trucks are weighed. All that data goes up in the cloud. And so I know instantly, you know, each field, you know, where it went, what bin it went to, and vice versa when it goes back out. I know every load going out. Like today we're shipping some beans.
Yeah.
I look on my phone and I say, oh, you guys hauled a couple loads today already.
Yeah.
Hey, they're probably listening. Great going, guys.
Don't slow down now.
Yeah, right.
So, Pat, is it data management or is it data analysis that you're doing?
Well, you can't analyze data until you have it managed.
That's true.
So it's three things. It's getting data into one place, whether that be from the John Deere tractor, the climate iDrive in the cab, information coming from the agronomist, information coming from your financial plans. We bring that all into one place. And now that it's in one place, you can actually see what you plan to do, what you've done, and you can start to analyze the results in real time. So it's really a management system. And what makes it difficult, I think what makes technology on farm difficult is getting that information together in the first place.
Right.
And you can't really make good decisions until it's in one place.
You know, and then, Lynn, once you've got it in one place, you know the phrase, GIGO. If you've got garbage coming in, you're going to have garbage coming
Absolutely.
Out.
Absolutely.
But it sounds like this gets rid of the trash and you get exactly what you need.
Correct.
To
Correct.
Do the analysis.
Correct. Absolutely. So we start on the harvest side, and then we go into the input side.
Yeah.
So anytime a tractor goes into a field, we get logged. Are we planting today? Are we spraying today? Are we doing tillage today? Everything's going into that system. So we can put a cost on it. We can put a time frame on it. We can put diesel fuel, whatever you choose to log. Some of it goes automatically. Some of it goes just by my guys carrying their smartphone and adding an input that we want to track. So you can make it as little or as big as you want.
You know, I've been through some of this time analysis at work myself. That's what we're talking about.
Absolutely.
We're talking about making the operation as efficient as you possibly
Absolutely.
Can.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And, you know, you can get down to, you know, this tractor should have went to this field because it made more sense.
Yeah.
Instead of sending two tractors together to a field, maybe we need to split them apart. You can't analyze it if you can't. You know, you measure it and look
yeah,
at it.
Yeah, if you can't measure it, that's exactly right. That's the right word to use.
Yep.
Right, Pat?
That you can't improve what you're not measuring.
Right.
And at the end of the day, you know, you can only control what you can control. You can't control the weather. You can't control markets. So driving every penny comes from having good information. And what we found is we have some really good inventory management systems. So on your input side, Chemfert seed, and then also on the harvest side, and there's a lot of money to be made, regardless of your agronomic plan, just in keeping track of those details.
Yeah, Lynn, we've only got about 30 seconds here. But when we're in the day and age of writing a prescription by the quarter acre, this kind of a process is so important, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely, and it's moving us all into the next phase, and that's what I'm excited about, the new Robo connection, because we're going to push more towards the financial piece. So, you know, eventually we will be attached to our bookkeeping pieces, and it all just gels together, and, you know, when we create the budget, did that budget really happen on a per-field basis?
Yeah, and then when you're running the combine and looking at the yield monitor, it's telling you if you're making money or not
absolutely.
On that spot.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's exciting.
That's incredible. That is so exciting. Lynn, thank you so much for joining us today.
You're welcome.
All right, that's Lynn Martz, Larson Farms. And Pat, thank you.
Thank you.
That is Pat Christie with Conservice. All right, when we come back, we're going to be talking with the finalists of the Top Producer of the Year competition here at TPS 2019.
Current price times 1,000 acres, carry the one.
These days, it's hard to make the math work for your soybean fields. The BASF Liberty Link system with Liberty Herbicide makes it easier. Start with a 2-plus bushel per acre yield advantage. Add in lower system input costs and more complete weed control, and you get an extra $33 or more profit potential per acre. compared to Asgrow Roundup Ready to Extend soybeans. Grow smart with LibertyLink and BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Growers face enough worries today. SDS and nematodes shouldn't be among them. Alevo seed treatment from BASF is the only product that offers effective protection against both SDS and nematodes throughout the critical growing period. Growers get amazing early season protection for stronger profit potential at harvest. So worry about weather. Don't worry about SDS or nematodes with Alevo. To find out more about Alevo and how to protect your soybeans, talk to your seed dealer or your BASF rep. Grow smart with BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from Pro Farmer.
Joining us now is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady. Brian, kind of a go-nowhere day, isn't it?
It is, Chip. You know, we're slightly firmer in corn and beans, but we better hurry up and get this done. remains the case because, once again, we saw strength in the overnight session. We get to daytime trade, and the buyer interest dries up somewhat. So, you know, corn is just fractionally higher, and beans are 1 to 2 cents higher right now.
Right. And wheat is under a little bit of pressure, isn't it?
It is. It's actually mixed with the SRW contracts a little bit weaker, and then the other two markets slightly firmer right now. But, you know, just really, like you said, pretty much a go-nowhere day so far. We did see South Korea come back in for a couple more boatloads of corn. It was optional origin, but that at least signals that prices got cheap enough to attract buyer interest, foreign buyer interest, earlier this week.
Yeah, and when South Korea is involved in it, it is important because South Korea is traditionally a value buyer, right?
You're right, and traditionally they buy from the United States quite often. So, you know, I do think it's positive news that, once again, we can't get any kind of confirmation of anything really other than the private exporter reports because of the USDA closures.
Right, right. Cattle under some pressure today, just a setback.
Yeah, I wouldn't read too much into it. It's moderate to heavy pressure right now, but we saw 5 days of gains and ran to new contract highs in the front month contracts. So I think it's just a pullback. We've become overbought and the market needed a breather. Still anticipating steady, firmer cash cattle prices for the week.
Yeah, and we've still got a heck of a good market going in the front month contract there. Thank you so much, Brian. That is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady.
Get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards.
Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. We're live at the Top Producer Summit in Chicago. Thank you so much to BASF for making it possible for us to bring you coverage from TPS 2019. Let's go ahead and roll that industry spotlight. We're talking with Dr. Josh Miller from BASF. We talked plant health in our last conversation. But if a guy is spending a buck, he wants a buck 10 in return now, Josh. And one of the best ways to do that is keeping that plant healthy through the whole growing season.
Absolutely. I'd argue he probably wants more than a buck 10, too.
Yeah.
What I've heard from here, from this conference, is this talk about not just increasing yields, but increasing the profitability, right? So you want to make sure that you're maximizing your unit of production. And one of the ways that we do that is through our plant health products. We minimize the stress that plant is exposed to, and we help the plant grow more efficiently so that regardless of what Mother Nature throws at you, you're getting that return every single season.
You know, and when we talk about a fungicide, if you apply that fungicide once the problem is apparent, you're really too late, aren't you?
Yeah, yeah. What we want to be is preventative with these applications. Think about,
get out in front of a problem.
Think about weed species. You don't want to let those things get ahead of you. I mean, we talk about 2-inch weeds. Think about a disease the same way. Once it gets going, it's hard to control as well. So when we're thinking about those pre-Axor and headline amp applications out there in the field this season, we want to be before the disease is really taking hold. That's when you get the best control and also the best benefit in the crop in general.
Well, and that's when the fungicide is going to pay for itself.
Absolutely. We see the most consistent returns right around that VT R1 time in corn and R3 in beans. That's just year in, year out when you get the best bang for your buck.
I tell you what, it's important to get out in front of a problem and plant health. You said it, you know, BASF has been all about plant health for a long time. They kind of coined the phrase.
Yeah.
And that's what we're talking about. You got to maintain that plant's health through the whole growing season.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Josh, thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. That is Dr. Josh Miller with BASF. All right. Hey, one of the highlights at Top Producer Summit is the Top Producer of the Year Award. And not, like I said at the start of the show, it's always fun to talk with the winner, which we're going to do in the next segment. He's sitting right here, Jimmy Tosh. We're gonna talk with Jimmy here in a little bit. But the finalists, when you look at the what these guys are doing and to make a business and what they've done to get to where they are today, it is inspiring. It is absolutely inspiring. I want to start with Chris Adams, Adams Family Farms. Chris, congratulations on being a finalist.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it's quite the honor.
All right. Where is Adams Family Farms, and what do you guys do?
Well, we are located on the border of North Dakota and Minnesota, 60 miles from the Canadian border, right in the Red River Valley. So we got some good ground to work with.
Yeah.
We primarily do sugar beets, wheat, some soybeans, a lot of specialty varieties of dry beans, and now the last couple of years we've been into the hemp production side of things.
Okay, so the hemp, there's a couple of things that I want to mm-hmm. focus on, and we're going to get to you, Ron, don't worry, but there's a couple of things. Hemp, that's the big story now, man.
Right.
2018 Farm Bill, it's
right.
taking the federal watchdog off it.
Right.
Is it going to be what you thought it was going to be going forward?
Well, I hope so. This is kind of the plan all along.
Yep.
You know, I don't know how fast it'll pick up. We need some processors and some marketing to happen real quick.
And there is a difference between the industrial hemp and the hemp that produces the CBD oil.
Right, right.
And that CBD is, that's where it's at.
That's where the money's at right now, yeah.
Yeah.
Big time. So... yeah, actually, CBD oil is derived from plants that were bred from the marijuana side of cannabis. So the only way it qualifies under the government's deregulation is just because the breeders were able to breed the THC out of
THC
that plant.
Out, CBD in.
Yes.
Yes.
So you're growing, I mean, you're theoretically, when you're growing high percentage CBD plants, you're shooting for like a 9-10% CBD value, yep. while maintaining the under the 0.3% THC value.
That 0.3% THC.
That's the magic number.
That's the magic number.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Okay. Another specialty crop, cranberry beans.
Yep. Cranberry beans.
What the heck, Chris?
Well, it's not. It sounds a lot more fruity than it is, I guess. I just call it that way. They're just another bean, but they are very
Adams Farms, 85% of the nation's production.
No.
No?
No, 25 to 30 to 40, so it depends on the year.
Okay.
I think at the peak we had probably half of the US's supply on our farm. And you know, that was in 2014, we had 3,000 out of the 6,500 acres that were registered in the States. Canada grows a lot of them too, but
And if you're going to produce that many cranberry beans, you better have a market for them, right?
Right, and we did, but they all went to Canada.
Yeah,
and then Canada exported them all over the place. So I was like, well. Okay. If they can do it, I can do it. So I just kind of cut them out of the deal and went straight to the source. So.
And you're meeting with importers around the world.
Yes.
You go and see them.
Yes.
One of the most powerful things that you said last night was when you sit down across the table with an importer, you can tell that importer that you're talking to the guy that put the seed in the ground to begin with.
Right. Yes.
It's a powerful message.
Chris. Yeah. And that message does flow a lot better in North America as far as people wanting to know where their food comes from.
Yep.
You know, overseas, right, as of now, it isn't that extremely important to them where I'm the one who's handling it all, but I think it will be.
Yeah.
It's kind of a cool thing to say, you know, that I'm loading the planter here for these and I'm, you know, dumping it in the truck. So it's pretty neat.
It's very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. Congratulations.
Thank you.
We're going to talk more with Chris in the future about what he's doing to help build the market for what he's growing on his farm. There's no way that we can't talk more about that story, Chris.
Right.
We've got to. Right. Ron Raybould, let's go further west, out to Wyoming. Congratulations, Ron.
Thanks very much. We greatly appreciate that.
Yeah, yeah. Tell us about your operation.
Well, so we're in the far southeastern corner of Wyoming. We're about 3 miles from Nebraska, 25 from Colorado. We have a certified organic operation.
Right.
We raise red and white wheat, garbanzo beans, green lentils, yellow peas, millet. We have a small cow-calf operation, and there's, you know, we farm at about 5,300 feet elevation with an annual precipitation rate of about 16 inches. So we're fairly limited on what we can grow, but we're doing the best we can with the location and
right.
where we are.
Right. Chris, you're Adams Family Farm, family operation.
Mm-hmm.
Ron, family farm, but it was a heart wrenching story that you told last night about your father and his passing and how it got you into the operation as deep as it got you into it.
Yes.
It's not like you were at 26 years old, you weren't really looking to get into it. You kind of got pulled back into it, and here you are today with an organic operation.
Well, I certainly wasn't planning on becoming a farmer. You know, I grew up on a cattle ranch primarily. We did a little bit of farming, but nothing you know, with modernized equipment and nothing on a large scale by any stretch. And so his passing really created, you know, created a lot of turmoil in the family
yeah.
business. And you're in business with, you know, I was the fifth generation. You're in business with second and third cousins.
Yeah.
At some point, these things do not exist into perpetuity.
Right.
And so we have a tendency, I think, in production ag to think that they do. And, you know, we saw a lot of challenges ahead with family issues, with financial issues, with the ability for our current operation to be able to support the amount of families that were there.
Right.
It hadn't sufficiently supported those families for decades. And
so you did what you're not supposed to do.
Yeah.
You broke it up.
Yep. Yep, we did. We ended up breaking up the family ranch, and we ended up leaving, and it was an enormously hard decision for
yeah.
us to do. When you have a business that's been in your family for over 100 years, and you're the fifth generation.
Yeah, 1905 settle.
That's right. I mean, it's
wow.
not something that you take lightly, and it's not something that you just arbitrarily wake up one day and decide, you know, hey, this is what I'm going to do. There's a lot of thought that goes into that. And, you know, when we found ourselves out on our own, we discovered pretty quickly that a percentage of something that we had, mm-hmm. But a percentage of something that didn't work to feed everyone certainly wasn't going to take care of us either.
Right.
And so there were a lot of changes that just had to take place, and we had to take a long, hard look at our business after we spent 3 or 4 years you know, going backwards.
Yeah, and here you are. You made the decision to go organic.
We made the decision to go organic. We did that because it was a niche market.
Yeah.
The numbers worked. The economic factor, I think, is something that we need to look and pay attention to as we do in production agriculture, that if you're going to have an asset, you need to have a return on that asset.
Right.
And we took a long, hard look at our operation. We ended up selling out over 85% of everything that we owned. And we started over and we said, you know,
jeez,
I think that we can figure this thing out. And so we've built it
over
the last several
years. It's almost a leap of faith, Ron.
It's a leap of faith. There's
no
doubt.
That you took.
Yeah.
So tell me, being an organic producer, does everybody else here kind of look at you and, like, give you the stink eye and everything?
Well, they, you know, you get all kinds of things. It's funny because I'm an organic producer, and my main vehicle that I drive around in is a Subaru Outback, right? So that's like my ranch truck, right? So,
yeah.
No, we drive a lot of miles, so there's a reason that
yeah.
we have one of those. No, but
he keeps the skis on the roof.
That's right. Well, it's, you know, it's, I got to put the the Thule on
right.
the top, right?
Right.
So,
right. You guys, it is such an honor to be a finalist in the Top Producer of the Year, and congratulations to both of you. It's been a pleasure to get to know you, and I look forward to talking
you.
With you guys more in the future.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be involved with such outstanding producers yeah. as Jimmy and Chris.
Absolutely. All right. We've got Jimmy Tosh coming up next.
Save time and capitalize on market opportunities with Pro Farmer's Daily Advice Monitor. Whether on your desktop or on your phone, visit TryProFarmer.com and get a generous one-month free trial. ProFarmer only focuses on the news that impacts the market, so you won't scroll through pages of articles to find what's really impacting your business. Plus, get full access to cash bids, charting tools, and more. Visit TryProFarmer.com right now. That's TryProFarmer.com.
First-generation farmers are a special breed. Farm Journal business editor Anna Lisa Laca helps these ag unicorns tell their story on a new podcast, The First Years.
It may have been hard, but there's a lot of good things that came out of it. A lot of time we spent together and our kids, I think, were better for it.
Join me each week as I chat with first-generation farmers and ranchers who have what it takes, grit and determination, to start from nothing.
The First Years with Anna Lisa Laca is available where you access your favorite podcasts, iTunes, Google Play, and now the new AgriTalk app.
Find it now at ShopFarmJournal.com. Brand new to the shop is the Best of Tractor Tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This two DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, the Best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at ShopFarmJournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at ShopFarmJournal.com.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
We're live on the red carpet, waiting for the next generation Credenz soybean. There he is!
Oh, Ed, look! It's Credenz Liberty Link GT27!
I know, Adna! He's got elite genetics.
You gotta love his 4 bushel per acre yield advantage.
And he's both Liberty and glyphosate herbicide tolerant.
Definitely the year's hottest performer. Ask your Credenz retailer about the new Credenz Liberty Link GT27 soybeans.
Grow smart with BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Commodity Classic is the place for generations of farmers to connect.
Helps me get answers to those questions that otherwise I wouldn't have access to. You know, maybe can't get them locally. My father over here is kind of an old school farmer, and so listening to other people say it besides me helps him agree with me more.
Join thousands of your fellow farmers at Commodity Classic, America's largest farmer-led, farmer-focused, educational, and agricultural experience. February 28th through March 2nd in Orlando. Discover more at commodityclassic.com.
In farming, getting things done early has a way of setting you up for success. Like using Corvus for an early season win over weeds. Corvus keeps even the toughest weeds from gaining a foothold. Multiple sites of action deliver superior control of emerged weeds. And later, Corvus reactivates with just a half inch of rain to take out any new weeds that may have sprouted. So get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards. Always read and follow label instructions. Corvus is a restricted use pesticide.
Save time and capitalize on market opportunities with ProFarmer's Daily Advice Monitor. Whether on your desktop or on your phone, visit TryProFarmer.com and get a generous one-month free trial. ProFarmer only focuses on the news that impacts the market, so you won't scroll through pages of articles to find what's really impacting your business. Plus, get full access to cash bids, charting tools, and more. Visit TryProFarmer.com right now. That's TryProFarmer.com.
First-generation farmers are a special breed. Farm Journal business editor Anna Lisa Laca helps these ag unicorns tell their story on a new podcast, The First Years.
It may have been hard, but there's a lot of good things that came out of it. A lot of time we spent together, and our kids, I think, were better for it.
Join me each week as I chat with first-generation farmers and ranchers who have what it takes, grit and determination, to start from nothing.
The First Years with Anna Lisa Laca is available where you access your favorite podcasts, iTunes, Google Play, and now the new AgriTalk app.
No matter what you do, you're always raising the bar, trying to do better than ever. New DeLauro fungicide for corn and soybeans can help you get the edge you're looking for. DeLauro has a broader spectrum of disease control and best-in-class dual mode of action residual. Plus, it improves plant health, so your top-performing hybrids and varieties will have the protection they need to help you achieve your personal best yields. DeLauro from Bayer. Keep raising the bar. Always read and follow label instructions.
You're listening to the all-new AgriTalk. That was a short one.
I like it. We're going to, like, we could drive through Rockford on the way home.
Do you want to?
We could.
Yeah?
The home of.
I could do my parade wave as we go through town.
The home of.
You know?
The home of.
The Rockford Files, of course. James
and
Garner.
Cheap Trick.
Yeah. Oh, Cheap Trick is from there?
Yes.
I did not know that.
Hello. How do you not know that?
Well, there are gaps.
One of the greatest rock bands in the history of the world.
Oh, we're going to have to start a whole other show about this.
This is going to be fantastic. Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. I'm Chip Flory. We are live at the Top Producer Summit in Chicago. Thank you so much to BASF for making it possible for us to bring you coverage from TPS 2019 and for making it possible for us to have a conversation with Top Producer of the Year. We've got Jimmy Tosh with us. Jimmy is from Tennessee. Jimmy, congratulations. My gosh, what an honor.
Good morning. Thank you very much.
Yeah, yeah. So, Henry, Tennessee, right?
Yes.
Tell us about Henry.
Well, it's a population of about 300. I actually don't live in Henry. I live in the suburbs.
Right, right.
Henry is about 300, I mean, about 125 miles directly west of Nashville. Okay. Our county borders the Kentucky border.
Yeah.
We're about 125 miles from Memphis.
Gotcha, gotcha. As I understand it, you haven't been to Chicago too many times, but good things happened to you in Chicago.
Well, met my wife here. And I think it's a good thing.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt about it. One of the coolest things that you did last night, Jimmy, was you had your family up there, including grandkids. And Tosh Farms, big operation. But it's a family operation, and you really made that evident to everybody last night.
Well, it is. I mean, my grandfather started our operation in 1913. I'm the third generation. My fourth generation, my sons are in the operation, and three grandkids, and I hope they'll be in the operation.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it looks like it's in pretty good hands to me.
I think it is.
And that's not by accident, is it?
No, we've made some plans for that. Yes.
Yeah, and it's part of the daily operations is making plans for tomorrow. It's always part of the operation.
Oh, yes, very definitely.
Yeah, yeah. So when you started, what, 40 years ago?
Well, I got out of school in 1972, I started in 72.
72. Had a small farrowing operation, right?
Well, no, actually at the time I was just buying feeder pigs.
Okay. Okay,
and
tell us about Tosh Farms today.
Well, today we're row cropping 17,000 acres and about 50-50 rented and owned, and we have 37,000 sows.
37,000 sows. Producing how many pigs?
We'll sell about 850,000 this year. Part of our sow unit is not fully stocked yet. We will have 37,000 sows in a few months.
Okay, and those pigs go everywhere?
No, most of our pigs go to JBS in Louisville, Kentucky.
Okay.
We do sell some pigs to a barbecue company in Nashville. They buy about 1,500 a year. So.
All right. Now, the farrowing operation is and the row crop, 17,000 acres of row crop, that's not all that you've got going on. I mean, you're a busy guy. You've got a couple other branches that you've opened up for business.
Yes, we have an operation called Bacon by Gosh.
Bacon by Gosh.
Yes, when I was in school, my college professor called me Tosh by Gosh, so I took a little play off of that. We have 60 semis in our operation. We do majority of our own trucking, and we also have a construction crew. We have lots of contract producers, and we build barns for them, and we also build all our other facilities.
Yeah, so... When you talk about it being a family operation, that family operation includes 406
employees today.
406 employees, Jimmy.
Yes.
That's quite a responsibility that you've taken on. I mean, for Henry, Tennessee, you're employing more people than there are in town. How do you find those people?
I think we're the second largest employer in the county. And it's been a great change in operation. One of the things I had to learn, we had five employees in 1993.
Five employees in 1993?
Yes, sir.
Who manages these employees?
A great set of employees that I have.
Yeah, yeah. So you got to empower
the employees to run the show, really.
Oh, yes. There's no way you can manage 400 employees yourself.
Right, right. One of the comments that you made last night, and you really encouraged everybody in the room, was to give back to the community.
Yes.
Why? Why is that important to you?
Well, I've been very successful, and the community has been a very integral part of me and being successful. And I think all successful people need to give back to the area.
How do you do that?
Well, we're involved in several different organizations. One of the main ones that we're involved in is Second Harvest. We've made a fairly sizable commitment to Second Harvest. We're involved
time and money.
Yeah. Yes, we're involved with a local university. We're going to build a finishing barn for Murray State University and donate to them. My wife's very involved, and she's had two bouts of cancer. She's been involved with the local cancer society.
Yep.
She's involved in a local auction called the Helping Hands. My daughter-in-law, she's very involved in Second Harvest. So, anyway, we've got several other charities. I'm very involved in FFA and 4-H, too.
Good for you. I'm glad to hear that, supporting the youth out there. Do you follow basketball at Murray State?
No, not really.
Oh, doggone it, because I was going to say your old coach, Steve Prohm, had a big win last night at Iowa State down at Texas Tech.
Did he?
Yes, he did. Jimmy, again, congratulations. You're part of a group now, including Chris and Ron in that finalist group. It is such a unique group, and I love to see you guys interact, and I love to have conversations with you, and I'm looking forward to many, many more conversations with you in the future, Jimmy.
Thank you very much.
All right, that's Jimmy Tosh, Henry, Tennessee, your 2019 Top Producer of the Year. Guys, we've got another hour of AgriTalk coming your way this afternoon. We're going to be talking with Matt Bennett from Bennett Consulting. He's been on several times in the past. And you know what? There's guys walking around that I think I'd like to get on here, Dave.
Yeah, just hanging out.
Yeah, just hanging out. Let's get them on and talk about some of the issues that they want to talk about this afternoon.
I'll get my lasso.
Yeah. Dude, corral them. Corral them and get them in here. Again, thank you to BASF for making it possible for us to bring you some coverage from Top Producer Summit 2019. Got Matt Bennett this afternoon, tomorrow morning on AgriTalk. Davis and I will be back in the studio. We've got a free-for-all coming your way tomorrow on AgriTalk.
Current price times 1,000 acres, carry the one.
These days, it's hard to make the math work for your soybean fields. The BASF Liberty Link system with Liberty Herbicide makes it easier. Start with a 2-plus bushel per acre yield advantage. Add in lower system input costs and more complete weed control, and you get an extra $33 or more profit potential per acre compared to Asgrow Roundup Ready to Extend soybeans. Grow smart with Liberty Link and BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
First-generation farmers are a special breed. Farm Journal business editor Annalisa Laca helps these ag unicorns tell their story on a new podcast, The First Years.
It may have been hard, but there's a lot of good things that came out of it. A lot of time we spent together, and our kids, I think, were better for it.
Join me each week as I chat with first-generation farmers and ranchers who have what it takes, grit and determination, to start from nothing.
The First Years with Annalisa Laca is available where you access your favorite podcasts, iTunes, Google Play, and now the new AgriTalk app.
Thanks to Miravis Ace Fungicide for sponsoring the AgriTalk podcast. Talk to your retailer today about pre-ordering Miravis Ace to get a head start on head scab control.